Shall we begin with a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds so we might receive your power for repentance and your gift for forgiveness. In your name, amen. When I was working on this message for this morning, I came up with an idea that frankly I chickened out in doing. But I want to tell you what it was or what it was going to be. But as we often do in the season of Lent in particular, we start with an order for confession and forgiveness. Well, in our time of confession, we said, we have sinned against heaven and before you. We do not fully live as your sons and daughters. We use your gifts to our own end. Forgive us and restore us. Well, at that point, I wanted to stop us and turn around and ask you, really? Is that what we really want from God? Are we truthfully asking that God would forgive us and restore us? Now just think about what that means. To accomplish that, we first of all have to acknowledge our sin. I mean, really think about it and really bring it up in our minds and acknowledge what it is. Just not going through the general points that were listed in that particular order for confession, but knowing exactly what it is we are confessing. And frankly, not every one of us can truly do that. Some of us, well, we know our sin, but we don't want to bring it up into our consciousness. Some don't want to take the time to reflect on their past, their sinful behavior. They won't want to drag it up. They couldn't deal with that situation way back when, and they don't want to bring it up and deal with it or think about it now. Some may not be aware that their actions are truly sinful, and they don't want to be really challenged to deal with it. Forgive us and restore us. Is that really what we want? Is that what we're really asking? For God to forgive us and restore us? We might feel bad about our sin. All of us feel bad or sad about our sins. But do we really want to change? To give up? That's what it means to restore us. Truth be told, some of us, well, we don't want to change. We like what it is we're already doing. Others just flatly, well, they don't intend to change. They're just going to go on, just listen to the words that are spoken, but just feeling a little bit better about themselves, but have no intent to change. Most of us will have the tendency of just reading through the words without giving it a lot of thought, without looking truthfully over what we're saying and what it means for our lives. Well, this is the season of Lent. And Lent is a time of repentance. It's time for us to truthfully look at ourselves, to look at our lives, to find out those things, those sins, in which Jesus put upon himself when he went to the cross. Now, none of us are without fault. That's easy. But yet we often have a difficulty in admitting it. We live in a society where it's better to keep certain things under wraps. Who goes into a job interview and declares, well, to be honest, I have to tell you, I do have a tendency to miss work. I'm always late. I argue with my superiors, and I just can't wait to get into some of the office gossip. Who on their first date confesses, well, you know, I tend to be a difficult person, and many people say that I'm a real bore. However imperfect we might be, we learn in our life today that it's better for us just to keep silent and not parade our mistakes and imperfections. It's just like the little girl at school who spoke to a classmate who got into trouble. She said, to err is human, but to admit it is just plain dumb. With our culture all around us, how do we honestly confess our shortcomings, our sins? How do we honestly repent? How can we? Story about a man who borrowed a book from an acquaintance. And as he read through it, he noticed that the man had underlined certain parts and certain paragraphs, and then next to it he wrote YBH. When he returned it to the owner, he asked him, "What does YBH mean?" And the owner said that as I read through the book, I underlined certain passages, certain paragraphs, because those were things that, well, I basically agreed with. And I thought that those were things that might improve my life. I thought they were things that I would like to incorporate in my life. However, the words YBH stood for yes, but how? Those three letters can be written on the side of our confession. I ought to know better how to take care of myself, but how? I know I ought to spend more time in Scripture and in prayer, but how? I know I ought to be more sensitive to others, more loving to my spouse, more understanding of the weaknesses of others. Yes, but how? Those are all good qualities. We know that, but how do we find the strength to follow them? This morning we hear the parable that Jesus teaches about the fig tree. It's a parable that tells us to repent and bear good fruit. We know that living the Christian life, walking with Jesus Christ as a child of God, requires things from us. And yet when we're honest with ourselves, when we're honest with our confession, we know that we fall short of accomplishing that. So the question that confronts us is also YBH. Yes, but how? Now the gospel parable offers us an incredible picture of God, a God of second chances. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came looking for fruit on it and found none. And he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down." Of course, the owner of the vineyard notices the fig tree. Now, what I've read, and some of you may know this and correct me if I'm wrong, but normally it takes a fig tree 3 years before it bears fruit. And second, fertile ground in Israel was a desired piece of land. And so when the vineyard sees a tree taking up all the good soil, not bearing fruit, and wasting it, he wants to cut it down and throw it in the fire. However, the gardener is the closest to the vine. He is the closest to caring for the trees. And he knows in his heart that this fig tree deserves one more chance. Put some effort around it, working around the tree, and see what the outcome is. Now, many of you may be more experienced. Well, let me put it this way. All of you are more experienced than I when it comes to growing things, flowers, bushes, trees, and certainly growing crops. And you know that every plant, every growing thing needs an environment for it to grow. The soil must be loosened or tilled for growth. It must be fertilized for growth. The crop, the flower, the plant must receive the right amount of water and sunlight. Its growth, well, if it isn't growing the best way it can, it needs additional care, more fertilizer, maybe for a tree or a plant, some pruning. Before all of that, before it bears fruit, all of that is necessary. Work needs to be done to provide growth. Sometimes that work is hard, sometimes it's challenging, but it's all for one singular purpose, and that's to bear fruit, to bear good fruit, to be given outward beyond our own needs. But I want you to notice in the parable, who is the one who's doing the work? "Sir," said the gardener, "let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it, put manure on it. It is the gardener who works on that tree. It's the gardener who gives another chance, because we have a God and a Lord of second chances. The gardener in the parable is Jesus himself. Jesus will do the difficult work for us, for true repentance and absolutely for forgiveness. The gardener, Jesus Christ, has one last move in his life, one last act for our failures, for true confession, our failures for truly seeking for God to forgive us and restore us. That one last act is taking those failures upon himself to be crucified on the cross. He does the hard work in death and resurrection. See, we may try and attempt to improve our lives. And we may come up with a list of things that are good, but after each one of those lists, we have to ask, yes, but how? The how is Jesus Christ. Is his death and resurrection that gives us that forgiveness of sins even when we fail to repent. But it is Christ who grants us that forgiveness and that chance each and every time to grow closer to where Christ calls us to be and who he wants us to be. In his name, amen.